We're holding on Sadiq Hay, Omid Bey's five lines from the bottom. We've been discussing, the Mishnah had mentioned a case where a person sells wine. Somebody says, I'm selling a wine cellar to you, meaning a bunch of barrels, and the buyer has to be willing to accept that up to 10% of them are going to be kosisos, which we said means lower quality wine, where it's starting to turn, but it hasn't yet. Tosfos on Amud Aleph before gives the possibility. Well, the Gemara had identified kosisos as yayin hanimka b'chanus, the quality of wine that would be sold in a shop, meaning like in a bar or something like that, in a bar or a restaurant or something like that, where people are not taking it home to drink. They're just drinking it on the spot, and they don't expect to get such good stuff. So Tosfos had discussed that based on the continuation of the Gemara that we're going to learn now, that it means it still tastes like wine, but it's starting to smell like vinegar. And Tosfos discusses that, and then Tosfos discusses certain ins and outs of that. The definition of wine is relevant as far as many different halachas. Eventually, right now, we're going to start talking about over here as far as the bracha on it. You have dinim as far as truma and meiser, and you have eventually we're going to learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. You also have it's relevant as far as kiddush, whether you can make kiddush on such wine. You also have the question of whether it's considered yayin nesach or not if a goy touches it. And that's discussed in Masechta Avodah Zarah, and Tosfos discusses the definition insofar as that. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Omer of Yehuda, yayin hanimka b'chanus. This quality of wine that we're talking about, the kind that's sold in a shop, the kind that people buy a cup full at a time and drink on the spot. And where, in other words, it's not the best quality wine. It might already be starting to turn. It already smells like vinegar. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Mevorchen al boyer pri hagafen." You say boyer pri hagafen on it because it still is considered to be wine. Rav Chista Omer gabi chamra de akrim lomali. Rav Chista says, what do I have anything to do with deciding the halacha and saying boi pri hagafen on wine that's akrim? Or akris is a different girsa. Akrim would be meloshen krum, which would mean wine that has a skin on it, which would be even worse quality than yayin hanimka b'chanos, because that would be already that it's actually starting to spoil and to turn to vinegar. Akris with a samach is how a number of rishonim have the Girsa, including the Oruch, has it that way. And there's a few possibilities where the word comes from. One interesting one is that it may come in Latin, you have a word acris. In English, you have a word that comes from an acrid, which means like really, which means like an unpleasantly bitter thing. So that might be the same word acris over here. So it means exactly that, that the wine is already starting to spoil. So Rav Chista says, fine, it might be still yayin hanimka b'chanus, but the fact that it already smells like vinegar means it's already starting to spoil. So gabi chamra de akris lama li, what do I have anything to do with wine like that? Meaning, in other words, Rav Chista is saying, at most, you would say shakol on it. So the Gemara says, basically, then I have a contradiction on Rabbi Yehuda. A Braisa says, al pas she'ipsha, when you have bread that's gone moldy. Now we're talking about within each of these things that we're going to be talking about, different foods that spoiled, we're going to have the poskim distinguish between how spoiled it is. If it's so spoiled that most people wouldn't eat it, then we're not talking about that you make a bracha on it at all. So here, our pas she'ipsha is that it has a little bit of mold on it, but basically it's still intact. So on that, v'alayayin shehikrim or shehikris, and on wine that's starting to spoil, v'al tavshol she'ibra, and for a cooked dish that's its form has been changed, which again means that it's slightly spoiled, but it's still kind of edible. All of those, on all of those, you say shahakol. In other words, you wouldn't say hamotzi or hagofen, etc., as you usually would. And then as far as the tavshil, Shvam points out, we could be talking about a tavshil made of grain, for example, farfel or something like that. Sorry about that. I seem to have gotten disconnected there a second. So the Tavshil we're talking about over here is for example one that ordinarily would have been Mizonis, and now because it's spoiled, then therefore it gets downgraded from Mizonis to Shakol, but still, in other words, as opposed to if it was completely spoiled, if it was completely rotten, then you wouldn't make a bracha on it at all. And similarly with the other ones. Anyway, the point being that we're saying that yain shehikrim or shehikris, you say shakol on. So then, how could Rabbi Yehuda say that you say hagofen on it? Amar Rav Zvid. So Rav Zvid answers, "Moed Rabbi Yehuda reports about the mizdaben akarnasa." Rabbi Yehuda would agree when it's a lower quality even than yain animka b'chanus, namely when you have wine that's more spoiled than that, where at this point it would only be sold at street corners or crossroads or whatever. So you're gonna have travelers over there. So at least, in other words, the purtsima means a type of inferior wine. So the point is, in other words, that Rashbam says, here we're talking about, at least in a chanus, people are going in as customers, so they expect some kind of decent quality. It might at least smell, it might smell of vinegar already, but at least they want it to taste of wine. But as opposed to this purtsima, the mizdaben akarnasa is even worse than that. It's the kind of thing, just passers-by when they're traveling and they really want a drink of wine, so they're just going to stop by the crossroads and you'll find whatever's available. You know, I guess in modern terms where we don't drink wine that much, you might sort of compare it to like coffee. You have like really good coffee. You have the kind of coffee maybe that they sell at Starbucks maybe or whatever, and then you have the kind like gas station coffee. So that would be the equivalent of purtsima de mizdaben akarnasa. It's not good stuff, but when it's what's available, then you'll take it, basically.
Yes, that's definitely a good comparison. Definitely.
Yeah. Thank you. The Rashbam brings another possibility that the word is not purtsima. He brings from Rabbeinu Hananel, the word is bepautsufa. So in other words, the pautsuf, like the form of the wine has changed already. The look of the wine has changed because it's bad quality. Anyway, so Rabbi Yehuda would agree that then anyway, you say shakol on it, so he would understand that the braisa that we just said about yayin shehikrim or shehikris would be that quality, but when it's good enough to still be sold in a store, to still be sold, to put it in modern terms, in Starbucks, let's say, then he says you'd still say hagafen on it. Okay, well, Amalei Abaye l'Rabbi Yosef, Harav Yehuda, Harav Chista. Well, Abaye asked Rabbi Yosef, we have Rabbi Yehuda's and Rabbi Chista's respective opinions. Mar Kaman Svirolei. What about you, Rabbi Yosef, Rebbe? Which one do you hold like? Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef answers, Anomas Nisi Yedaina. I don't know from Rabbi Chista and Rabbi Yehuda, but I can learn it. I can derive it from a braisa as follows. Now we're going to have the braisa. We're going to have two different ways of understanding the braisa, and then in the end, we're going to work out which one Rabbi Yosef holds according to, such that we would say he says that what he would say the final halacha is. So the braisa is as follows: the Tanya, haboidekas achavis, a person checks a barrel. He's going to use this barrel on an ongoing basis as what he's going to give truma, what he's going to give truma on other barrels for. So in other words, like this, he figures rather than having out of every barrel, I have to separate a certain amount of truma and meiser. Instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to reserve one particular barrel that I'm going to, on an ongoing basis, I'm going to designate more and more of it as truma. And that's fine. It doesn't matter that it gets mixed up each time you can designate, for example, the bottom 2% of it or the 2% above that. And then so on and so forth is truma. So that works. Now, what he does is, that Rashbam describes, he wants to taste it first to make sure that it's good. Now, he can't taste it when it's tevel. So he takes out a little bit of it and takes truma and maisa out of that little bit. Then he tastes that. Then what he does is every time as he's getting ready to drink or sell a different barrel, then he designates out of this barrel whatever percentage needs to be for truma and maisa. And eventually then, now that Ashbam points out, you can't give truma from vinegar on behalf of wine, which is why he checked it in the first place. In fact, the Rashbam says that would be true according to Rebbe. According to the Chachamim, l'hatchila you shouldn't do it, b'di'evad it would be fine, but nevertheless he wants to do it in the l'hatchila dik way. So that's according to the Rashbam. Tosfos points out a detail that not necessarily here the Rashbam is saying he wants to taste a little bit of it. So he first takes a little bit of it out. He takes a cup full out or whatever, takes truma and maisa from within that cup and then drinks it in order to taste test it. Tosfos says you don't even really need that. You could test it by smell. If it smells of wine, then it definitely still has the taste of wine because the smell goes first before the taste. Anyway, other Rishonim b'chlal learn that here the Rashbam is saying that this b'raisa would be only according to Rebbe, because according to the Chachamim, b'di'evad it would be fine, and therefore we'd have nothing to talk about what happens if unexpectedly he finds it's vinegar. The Rashba points out not necessarily, because even according to the Chachamim, who say that b'di'evad you could take vinegar on behalf of wine, they consider them to be one min, as in fact we had earlier in the Masechta, a short thing about that. Nonetheless, though, here, where we see that he's testing it, that he's test tasting it or smell tasting it, then that shows he Davka wants to give wine. He wants to do it the right way, and therefore, if it turns out to be vinegar, then it comes out he wouldn't have intended to give that as truma. So therefore, now the question becomes: what happens if he finds that it's vinegar? What happens to the other barrels that he separated from this one on behalf of? So either way, the point is, in other words, that he's expecting this barrel to be wine, and he finds out, and then it turns out that it's vinegar. So kol gimel yom vaday, what happens then is throughout three days, it's vaday, mikan ve'elach safek, and outside of 3 days, it's safek. So now we have to understand what we mean by the 3 days. Which 3 days are we talking about? My karma, what does the b'raisa mean? Amar Rabbi Yochanan hochi karma. So Rabbi Yochanan explains the b'raisa as follows. Kol gimel yomim harishonim, throughout the first 3 days after the last time that he tested it, it definitely was still wine, because it takes at least 3 days for wine to go sour. Therefore, we can say that whatever he designated as truma during those 3 days would definitely be fine. And the point is that Rashbam says, listen, yeah, you might conceivably have, obviously, when you have wine turning to vinegar, it is a gradual process, but still there has to be some particular moment when the smell changed from that of wine to that of vinegar. So, you know, there has to be some point when that threshold is reached. Let's say that happened a moment after he finished. Fine. Nevertheless, it would still keep the taste of wine for another 3 days minimum. So therefore, you can be sure that during those 3 days, it was actually still wine, mikan ve'elach, but after that, it would be a suffix if it's more than 3 days since the last test, because then by now it might have, so now what you might have is there might have been some of the designations of truma that he made out of that barrel were done after it was already vinegar, and therefore, again, according to Rebbe, it would definitely be no good, and as the Rashba says, even according to the Chachamim, if his plan was to designate wine on behalf of wine as truma, and now it turns out that it's vinegar, then it would mean that he didn't mean to designate this, and therefore the other barrel is tefil. So it's a suffix, but on the other hand, because it's only a suffix, so therefore we would say that Rashbam points out trum of yachs of yitrim. It's one of those cases where we would say it is. He does have to treat what he designated as truma, but so it does go towards the percentage of the barrel and the wine in the barrel, which eventually he's going to have to. Eventually, when the barrel is all designated as truma, he's going to give it to the kohen. But he has to again take truma from something else on behalf of the other barrel, because you don't know, this may have been vinegar already. Anyway, so Rabbi Yochanan explains my timer. Now, why am I saying that for those first 3 days, it's definitely for those first three days, it's definitely still wine? Because Rabbi Yochanan says, my time, chamra me'iloi okar, because when wine goes bad, the taste starts going away from the top downward. So what you have is when it starts becoming vinegar, the wine on the top, closest to the top of the barrel, is what first becomes vinegar, and then it gradually penetrates down into the rest of it. And the Rashbam adds, as long as it hasn't all turned vinegar, as long as it hasn't all turned sour, then that's the point where it'll have the smell of vinegar, but still the taste of wine. And again, as we're discussing throughout the sugya, that as long as it has the taste of wine, then it can still be considered wine. That's the point we're getting at over here. So therefore, even the last 3 days before he checked it and found that it was vinegar, it's possible that during those last 3 days was when it was starting to turn, and now by the time he checked it after 3 days, it turned completely, but you don't know. So anything after the first 3 days, all the way until the next time he checks it, is going to be a suffix. In fact, Tosfos says that's why the Gemara has to say that according to Rabbi Yochanan, the top is what goes first. Otherwise you're taste testing from the top. So you may find that the top still tastes of wine, and meanwhile the bottom has already been turning to vinegar already a couple of days ago. So therefore that's why the Gemara has to assume that according to Rabbi Yochanan, necessarily it turns from the top down. So chamra mi loy okar, it turns going from the top working down. V'hai t'imei v'loy okar, here he tasted it and he found nothing wrong with it. Im timtzalom bosad t'imei okar, even if you're going to say that the moment after he finished testing it is when it turned, habad recha chala b'tamei chamra, then fine. What you have is a situation where it smells of vinegar, but it still tastes like wine. And when you have something like that, Rabbi Yochanan says chamra, that it's still considered wine. And therefore, so necessarily, the Braisa has to mean exactly that, that for the first 3 days after he tested it, we definitely still consider it wine, because maximum what could happen during those 3 days is that it starts smelling of vinegar. But after that, it would be a suffix anytime further on, it would be a suffix, because maybe it turned and it takes only 3 days for it to. That's Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi explains the 3 days of the Braisa exactly the other way around. He says, Kol shloshi yomim ha'chronim v'adai chometz. No, the other way around. It means that the last 3 days before he checks again. And now he checks it again, let's say a week after the original check, and he finds it to be vinegar. The last three, whatever truma he designated it from those last 3 days, we definitely have to say vadei chometz, it was definitely vinegar during those 3 days. And therefore, there's no question, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi learns, that the truma that he designated during those 3 days would definitely be no good. Mekanolahalon suffix. Anytime earlier than that, it would be a suffix. And my timer, why does Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi understand it that way? He says just the opposite of Rabbi Yochanan. He says the wine starts spoiling from the bottom. The ema oker v'lava daite, so therefore you may well have. You're taking a little bit from the top to taste test it. So you wouldn't know what's going on at the bottom. So it may have gone bad at the bottom and you don't know. Or even if you're going to say, maybe not, maybe like Rabbi Yochanan says, it spoils from the top, and you're going to say, well, look, he tasted it and didn't find that there was anything wrong with it, you might still have, the moment he finished is when it turned, and in that case you would wind up with wine where it smells like vinegar but still tastes like wine. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi holds, unlike Rabbi Yochanan, that in that case such wine has the din of vinegar. So now Tosfos points out, within Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's opinion, we're saying two possibilities. One is that it starts going sour from the bottom, and the other from the top. But Tosfos says, because the opinion in the Gemara over here that wants to learn Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi this way, he holds that in fact that's how it is. He holds that as a matter of fact, that is the way in which wine spoils from the top going up. So usually we try to say there's not a machlokas in Metzius. Usually we try to say that the arguments between Chachamim are on the logical understanding, the svaris or whatever of things, not on the physical realities. But here we have that Tosfos learns the first understanding of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi would say that he's actually arguing on the physical characteristics of how wine spoils, whether from the top down or from the bottom up. Anyway, so again, within Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's way of understanding it, within his opinion, you would have two ways of understanding. You could say it means that it spoils from the bottom, and therefore that the fact that he did a taste test from the top doesn't really help us. All it is when he comes back a week later or whatever and finds that it's all vinegar, then we know, says Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, the last 3 days it definitely was vinegar, because for it to all turn vinegar would have taken 3 days. Or that you could say, unlike Rabbi Yochanan, that if it starts spoiling from the top during the first 3 days, it wouldn't matter because it's not all spoiled yet. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi would disagree and say that no, once it starts smelling of vinegar, once any amount of it starts spoiling, then already the whole thing is considered spoiled and it's not wine anymore. On the other hand, continues the Gemara, Droi Moi, the Chachamim of the south of Eretz Yisrael, Masnu B'Shmei de Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, they learned in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi a different version of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's opinion. By the way, the word Roy Moy often means the word Roy Moy often means Romans, but here you're not going to have the Romans aren't giving an opinion on what Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi has to say. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out that the word Roy Moy, the Dalet, is part of the Shurdish. It means the Chachamim of the south of Eretz Yisrael. By the time of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, most of the Chachamim, and in general most of the Jewish population of Eretz Yisrael, lived in the north. So it was noteworthy when you have Chachamim in the south. So they learn, Masnu B'Shmei de Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, they learn, they have Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's statement said in a different way. So here we had so far, we had Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of the Braisa, that the first 3 days is Vadai, it's definitely still good wine. After that, it's a Suffolk. We had Rabbi Yehoshua ben, the first version of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, that, or the other way around. From the beginning, as soon as he taste tested it, we start having the Suffolk until we reach 3 days before his next check. And then at that point, for those last 3 days, it's Vadai vinegar, and therefore the Hafrosh Struma is no good. Now you have the Jeremiah, you have another way of understanding it. Rishonim vada yayin. During the first 3 days, it's definitely wine. Achronim vada chomets. And in the last 3 days, it's definitely vinegar. And soyim suffik. And the suffik is only on the days in between. So again, let's say, for example, he checked it a week later. So he first checked it on Sunday. Then he checked it the following Sunday. So then, according to the Drei Moi's understanding of... according to the Jerome Moyer's understanding of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, we're going to say that the Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, it's for sure good. Wednesday is a Suffolk. Wednesday and Thursday is a Suffolk. Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday is going to be definitely vinegar. Well, the Gemara asks, so go for Kasha. Well, then don't you have a contradiction within that? How could they understand Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi that way? I'm with Rishon Vadayai. And first, you say in the first 3 days, we definitely consider it wine. I'm with Reichi Chalav Atayme Chamra Chamra, which means that even though during those 3 days, it might already be spoiling and already it smells like vinegar, but it still tastes like wine, and you're calling it wine, and therefore designating it as Truma on behalf of other wine is fine. Then you say in the last 3 days we definitely consider it vinegar, which means that if it smells like vinegar, even though it still tastes like wine, then already it's considered vinegar. So what is it? What is the status of wine in that situation? The answer is the Drei Moi are talking about a case where, understanding Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, would say that the Braisa is talking about where you found, on the next check, you found that it's very strong vinegar. Siftika comes apparently from a Persian word that means strong. If it hadn't already been spoiling for 3 days, there's no way where now on the following Sunday, for example, you would find it to be such strong vinegar. Elsewhere in Halacha, by the way, the definition of strong vinegar is that you pour it on the ground and it bubbles. Anyway, so therefore, so now that you find that, then you have to say there's no question that it actually turned to vinegar during the last 3 days, because otherwise it wouldn't be such strong vinegar at this point. But where you find that it's not so strong. So in other words, it comes out according to the Dramoy. Yes, when it's still, as long as it still tastes of wine, then it's still considered wine. So therefore, so even if during those first 3 days it was starting to spoil and starting to smell of vinegar and you didn't know because the last you checked it was the first Sunday, it wouldn't matter, because according to the Dramoy's understanding of Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi, it would still be considered wine at that point. So now that we have that Braisa and we have the two different understandings, we have actually three different understandings then of the Braisa. We have Rabbi Yochanan's, we have Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi's, and we have the Dramoy's understanding of Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi. And it comes out, by the way, that the Dramoy's version of Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi agrees with Rabbi Yochanan, at least insofar as this, that when the wine still tastes like wine, even though it already smells of vinegar, that it's still considered wine. So in fact, the Rashbam and Tosfos point out that's good reason to say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, because we have Rabbi Yochanan himself, and then we have the Dramoy's version of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, which at least as far as that detail supports him that when it tastes like wine, then it's still considered wine, even though it smells like vinegar. So the Gemara finishes off. Kaman Parshat Lay. Okay, well, we said earlier that when Rabbi asked Rabbi Yosef who is the halacha like, and Rabbi Yosef answers, I know a Braisa. So which understanding of the Braisa is he following? By the way, the Rashbam points out we don't mean that this whole discussion over here with the two opinions of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi was also said by Rabbi Yosef. Because then Rashbam points out at the bottom of the previous Amud, then the flow of the Gemara would have been somewhat different. Then Rabbi Yosef would have brought the Braisa, and he would have continued, Va'amrinan, and we say on that in the Yeshiva, that you should know Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi argue on it. The fact that it's not presented that way means Rabbi Yosef just said, I know a Braisa, and he quoted the Braisa. Later on, the editors of the Gemara, Ravina and Ravashi, or the Chachmei HaYeshiva, between Rabbi Yosef and them, added this whole discussion about Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi's respective opinions about it. Anyway, so, Kaman Parshat Lay, well, bottom line, which understanding of the Braisa that Rabbi Yosef wants to quote, or is he paskin according to, in terms of how much of what the bracha is going to be for this wine that already is yayin animka bachanus, the kind that's sold in the store where it smells of vinegar and tastes of wine. So, Rav Mori and Rav Zvid. So in turn, Rav Mori and Rav Zvid argue about that. One says that Rabbi Yosef wanted to say like Rabbi Yochanan, meaning that the bracha on it would still be hagofen, and the other one says that he meant to say that the halacha is like Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi, where according to the first version of Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi, that is where at that point the halacha, where at that point the bracha on it is shakol. Again, the Rashbam and Tosfos both say we have good reason to say the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, because in fact we have the Dramoy's version of Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi at least agrees as far as that, and that is in fact the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. When you have wine that is starting to smell off, but it still tastes like wine, you do in fact say hagofen on it, and it has the din of wine for the various purposes in halacha, as far as yayin nesach and as far as various other things. One thing it does mention is, in principle, you can make kiddush on it as well, as long as it tastes of wine. But again, this is better not to do that. For kiddush, you should really have minam uvcho. You should have good quality. You should have good quality wine. Next, getting back to cases of selling wine, itmar hamoichem chavis yayin lachaveira v'hachmitza. Person sells a barrel of wine to somebody else, and the barrel spoils. The Rashbam points out we have to be talking about where it was kept in the Rashbam points out that we're talking about it was kept in the same barrel. Because otherwise, if it's poured into another barrel, so here we're going to be discussing who's responsible. Does the seller have to refund the money if it went bad within the first couple of days? This is relating to the previous piece. We just said that it takes 3 days for wine to spoil. So now what happens is he brought the wine home, and within 3 days he found that it's spoiled. So the question is going to be whether the seller is responsible. So the Rashbam points out we have to be talking about that he kept it in the same barrel. Otherwise, if you put it in another barrel, then the seller would have every right to say that, you know what, your barrel obviously was a no good barrel, and therefore it's spoiled. Now, we did have earlier in the fifth parak, we had a couple of weeks ago, we had where a person buys wine and it turns out to be vinegar, then it's a mekach tos. So here he bought it was wine, but then within a couple of days, it turned to vinegar. The question is, was it already starting to turn? The point being, in other words, nobody's going to buy wine where they know it's going to turn very soon. So now the question is going to be, how long do we have that we can say that it must have happened in the possession of the seller, and therefore it can be called a mekach tos, because he would say, I would never have bought this wine if I knew it's going to turn so fast. Versus, at what point do we say that no, it's your tough luck. I sold it to you. It was good wine. It's not my problem that it went bad after that. So Omar Rav called Gimel Yomim Harishonim Rishus Moicher. So Rav says throughout the first 3 days, it's still considered in the Rishus of the seller. So therefore, he's the one who bears the loss, because again, it takes 3 days for wine to spoil. So therefore, if within 3 days the buyer finds that it's already completely spoiled, then it means it has to have started spoiling already while it was by the seller. So therefore, it can be a mekach tos, because the buyer wouldn't have bought it if he knew that it was going to start turning. Now, the Rashbam also adds that we're talking about over here, the buyer did taste it. In those times, when you bought a barrel of wine, you usually would taste test it first. The Rashbam says we are talking about that he did taste it. But the fact that we see that it's spoiled within 3 days means, in other words, so he didn't taste it properly. He didn't realize what he was getting, and therefore he has the right afterwards to say that it's mekach tos. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Yonah learns that he didn't taste it. If he tasted it, then we're not going to say it's your problem. You tasted it. You found that it was good. Don't come to me with any more complaints. And then you have also now here where the Rashbam is saying that we're talking about it has to be necessarily in the same barrel. The Rashba actually gives an explanation that no, we're talking about that it was poured into another barrel, and nevertheless, Rav says that it takes 3 days for it to turn, and therefore that if it turns now, it means within 3 days, it means that it was already starting to turn in the Rishus of the seller, and therefore you'd have to refund the money. But after the 3 days, then it would be in the reshus of the buyer, meaning that it's his responsibility, and the seller doesn't have to refund him anything. So Tosfos also points out, when we say over here reshus moicher, would mean even he already received the money. Nevertheless, once we found that it's vinegar after 3 days, and again, it means it was starting to turn within the 3 days, and again, he wouldn't have paid money for such a thing if he had known that it was like that. Shmuel Amar, whereas Shmuel says no, even within 3 days, the seller is not chaya b'achriyosoy, because he uses an expression, chamra akaspa demore shavar. Wine jumps on the shoulder of its owner. Meaning, in other words, that Rashbam explains, it means basically, in other words, the mazel of the owner of the wine is what causes it to go sour. Later on Daf Tzadik Ches, the Gemara is going to bring a pasuk that explains that when a person is a baal gaiva, one way that he might be that Hashem might do something to him because of that is that he causes his wine to go sour. So now, even within 3 days, the seller can say to the buyer, "It's your mazel. It's your fault that the wine went bad." The Rashbam mentions, by the way, that he got this explanation from Rashi. On the other hand, Tosfos disagrees with that. Tosfos says, because we're going to have later on Daf Tzadik Ches, the Gemara is going to discuss this point that the mazel or the behavior of the owner causes the wine to spoil, and it uses a different expression, mazel gorim, and then a couple of other questions Tosfos has. The fact is, if we're saying it takes 3 days for wine to spoil, then it takes 3 days regardless. Here we were saying on Amud Aleph with the whole matter of Truma, we didn't start distinguishing anything about whether the guy's mazel might make it happen during the first 3 days or not. So rather, Tosfos says this expression of Shmuel's means something else. When you're buying wine, you're transporting it home. Well, the transportation itself can cause the wine to go bad because it gets shaken around, and therefore that, so that's what it means. In other words, so that would cause it to go bad within 3 days. True, of course, he knows perfectly well that that he's going to be taking it bad, but that's going to cause it to go bad. But nevertheless, the fact is that then the moicher can say, okay, you know, I thought you might leave it over here and you'll take from it piecemeal, or you might transport it more gently or whatever. Maybe fine, you have to transport it one way or the other, but you could have transported it more gently, and that wouldn't have caused it to go bad. You shook it up, and therefore that that caused it to go bad. And again, the Rashba says yet another way of looking at it is that Bechlal, both the Rashbam and Tosfos are assuming that it still remained in the same barrel. Maybe not necessarily. Again, the Machloikas Rav and Shmuel can be where he poured it into his own barrel, and the question would be, Rav would say that's still not going to cause it to go bad within 3 days, and Shmuel says it might. The Gemara says, "Over Rabbi Yosef uvde kavasei de Rav b'shichra v'kavasei de Shmuel b'chamra." Now, Rabbi Yosef one time paskin in practice, like Rav, when it came to beer. So somebody bought a barrel of beer, and it went bad within 3 days, and he paskin like Rav that because it was within 3 days, then therefore the seller has to refund the money. So now the Yad Ramah points out the reason why Rabbi Yosef would hold like Rav in that is because wine spoils faster than beer, beer spoils faster than wine, it doesn't. Beer spoils slower than wine, so when it's within 3 days, then we definitely have reason to think that it already started spoiling by the seller, because it should have taken more than 3 days for it to spoil. But then he passed in like Shmuel when it came to wine, where there he said it was within 3 days, and there we said that the seller is potter, because as Shmuel said, it depends on the buyer. One of the points that Rishonim bring up then in connection with the understanding of Rav and Shmuel's Machloikas, if like the Rashbam is saying the difference is because of the guy's mazel, then would we necessarily assume, why should we assume that mazel of his and his behavior would affect only wine and not vinegar? It is true that there was one answer is the pasuk that the Gemara is going to bring later on Daf Tzadik Ches refers to wine, so maybe Taka then in that case. So maybe there's a difference between wine and vinegar in that regard, as far as how Hashem treats things. But other Mefarshim counter and say that no, the pasuk is mentioning wine. Obviously, it mentions vinegar as well, and therefore. That the fact that he's making a distinction between wine and vinegar, between wine and beer, would have to be because of how long it takes them respectively to spoil. It takes wine 3 days, beer it takes longer than that. And the Gemara says v'hilchos kavasei de Shmuel, the halacha is like Shmuel, that it's on the buyer regardless. The seller can say that it was the seller can say that it was your mazel. So again, where does that mean that the halacha would be like him as far as wine and as far as beer? So Tosfos again first starts explaining that there would be a difference in this regard between wine and beer, because again, the pasuk that the Gemara is going to quote later on is referring only to wine. And then the Ramban and various other Rishonim say that no, the same concept would apply to beer as well. So when we say, so we were saying, in other words, that no, unlike what Rabbi Yosef did with beer, where he passed him like Rav, but when it comes to beer, no, we would say, according to the Ramban and others, we would say that no, the halacha is like Shmuel in that regard as well. And regardless, the seller is not obligated to refund the money. The Rambam brings the distinction, like Rabbi Yosef did over here, between wine and beer, and in Shulchan Aruch it mentions that concept as well, and the question of whether there's a distinction between wine and beer in that regard in the end. Talking further about wine and beer, about the bracha on them, going back to the dinim of brachas. This is one of those things, by the way, you expect the dinim of brachas, of course, to be in Masechta Brachas. Once in a while, you have dinim of one area in Halacha where the main place you're going to find them is in a completely different Masechta. Another example is we're going to learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, about certain dinim of Kiddush, about what kind of wine you can use for Kiddush. You would expect that to be in Masechta Shabbos, and here you find it in Baba Basra. I think I've mentioned before a story that the Rambam tells about himself in one of his Truvas, where one time one of the Dayanim of Alexandria came to him with a question about a halacha that Rambam wrote in Hilchos Ritzeach or Shmiras Nefesh, and asks him where's the source for it, and the Rambam can't find it. To make a long story short, it turned out that the source of this particular halacha, even if it's a halacha involving Ritzeach or Shmiras Nefesh, you'd expect it to be in Sanhedrin or Makkos, which is the normal place such a dinim are discussed. It turns out to be in Yevamos and in Gittin, of all places. So then the Rambam says, I really should write an index to Yad Chazaka. After all, I didn't give my sources anywhere in it. At least I should give an index. I should create an index for those kinds of out of place halachas like that, where you would find them in something completely in a completely unexpected place in Shas. In the end, he didn't have the chance to write that. But you have ever since then, the Noisa Kalim of the Rambam have worked on that kind of thing, identifying his sources. And in our times, when the Rebbe began the Takana of Limud Rambam, then he pushed the younger light from Kahos, from Oitzer, from whatever, to put together an index, to put together a very comprehensive index of all of the Rambam's sources. Anyway, so this is one of those examples of an out-of-place halacha. You wouldn't expect to come to Masechta Bava Basra to find dinim of brachas, but nevertheless, here they are. So the Gemara says, Tanan Rabbanan. Echad sheikh tmorim, when it comes to beer, whether the beer is made out of dates, the echad sheikh sa'orim, or whether it's made out of barley, like our typical beer nowadays is, the echad shimre yayin, or where you have dregs of wine that you soaked or that you poured water on so they'll absorb the taste, that kind of thing. The shimre yayin is what's mentioned in various places in Mishnayos as temed. You have, for example, in the Mishnayos for the 11 months in a yotzeit, about temed ad shalei hechmetz, about temed mishnei hechmetz, means exactly that, where you take dregs of wine that still have some juice, some wine in them, and you pour water on them, and then afterwards you draw off the water and it's absorbed some of the taste. That kind of stuff is called temed. Anyway, so all of those, mevorchen aleihem shakol nirbedvarei. So all of those kinds of things, you say shakol on them, rather than as opposed to, in other words, dates themselves. You say ha'etz. Barley, you would say depending on how it's prepared, ha'adama or mezonis. And the dregs of the wine would be hagofen, but in all these cases, because you made it into beer, then it gets downgraded to shakol. Achirim oimrim. On the other hand, achirim, which usually means Reb Meir says. In fact, Tosfos points out when you get down to it, it's not even only beer made of dates. In fact, even if you have the honey, the syrup from dates would also be shakol. In general, fruit juices for the most part are shakol, with the exception the Gemara talks about in Brachas, with the exception of wine, of course, where we say hagofen, and olive oil, which in principle should be ha'etz, but in practice, most of the time you don't usually have an opportunity to because you don't drink olive oil by itself. Tosafos also brings that what it is that the beer over here is considered zeya ba'alma. It's considered just like a sweat that comes out of the fruit. It's not really considered the mamoshes of the fruit. Anyway, so again, so the Tanakhama says in the Braisa that all of them you would say shakol. Achirim, which usually means Reb Meir, says that when the dregs have the taste of wine, you soak them in water, then you would say on it bo priagofen. So the Gemara points out, Rabba and Rabbi Yosef, Tami Tavayu, Ein Halacha Ka'achirim. Rabba and Rabbi Yosef both say the Halacha is not like the Achirim, and therefore you would not say Hagofen on it. You would, in fact, say Shakol. And in fact, the Shita Lo Noda L'Mi points out, Shita Mokubetzis brings from Shita Lo Noda L'Mi. Why do we need to be say? Why do we need to say that? Of course, Yochid V'Rabim, Halacha K'Rabim. And he says, because like this, we were saying before in the previous part of the sugya, that when it smells, that as long as it tastes of wine, then it's considered wine and you make a guffin on it. We said, even if it smells of vinegar, so you would think the same way over here, when it has a taste of wine, maybe that's enough for it to be considered wine. And we're saying that not. Omar Rava. Now Rava says it's not so simple. We have to actually distinguish. Now though, the Gemara is going to go point out that it really depends on the percentage of wine. It really depends on the percentage of water that was put in, which leads Tosfos into a discussion that when you have Tosfos discusses over here, that when we're talking about the dregs over here and we're saying that you mix them with water and nevertheless it's charcoal, the same thing would be, Tosfos says, also if you take grape seeds and soak them in water and then make a wine flavored beverage out of it. Anyway, Omar Rava. So Rava points out it's not so simple. Dekulei Alma. Now both the Chachamim and both the Tanakama and Acherim would agree. Roma Tlosav Osar Ba. If he put in three measures of water, and later on when he strained out the dregs, then he found four. So then Chamrahu, that definitely would be considered wine, because where did that fourth one come? Means that the dregs still had enough juice in them that now it came out into the water, and therefore you have and now therefore instead of your original three, now you have four. So then even the Chachamim would agree that's considered wine. And therefore, you'd make a guffin on it. Rava l'taime. Now, Rava is going according to his own svare in that regard. De Omar Rava, because Rava says, Kol chamrad le'dori al chad tlas maya. Whenever you have wine, whenever wine is not mixed with three times as much water, lav chamrahu is not considered wine. Meaning, we know throughout Shastra, wine was undrinkable by itself, whether it was too, whether the alcohol content was too high, whether it was too syrupy, whatever it was exactly, they used to blend it with water in order to drink it. And Rava is saying that the wine has to be mixed with three parts water. Now, there are actually various places, Tosfos points out that, where the Gemara says that you only need two parts of wine, and where the Gemara says you need only two parts of water to one of wine. And so Tosfos discusses a little bit about the ins and outs of that, there's different kinds of wine. There's a wine called Yain HaSharoni, which is weaker, and therefore you only need two parts of water. Here we're talking about regular wine where you need three parts water. That said, there is a Gemara elsewhere. There are Gemaras elsewhere. We learned in Masechta Nedarim a while back, for example, that Rava's way of mixing wine with water was different than most people's. So it might also be that most people would mix with two parts water, but Rava would mix with three parts. Anyway, the point is that Rava is saying if the wine is not mixed with three parts wine, with three parts water, then it's not considered wine. Rava's expression, Deloy Dori, literally Dori means carry. So Rava might actually mean just that, in other words, if the wine is so weak that it's not capable of being mixed with three parts of water and still tastes like wine, then you can't consider it wine. So in other words, he wouldn't be saying necessarily that you must mix it with three parts water. He's just saying it has to be strong enough that if you mix it with three parts water, it won't lose its taste. Anyway, whatever the case. So here where you have three parts water and now you have four parts, now you have four times, now you have four measures of water. So it means one of them is what came out of the dregs and the other three is water. And fine, that's that one in three, that's that 1-3 ratio. And according to Rava, that when, and so Rava is telling us that would be considered wine. On the other hand, continues Rava, Roma tlosa v'osa tlosa. On the other hand, if you put in three measures of water and you got to three afterwards, so even though it has a flavor of wine, then for sure that's not considered anything, and everybody would agree that it's shakol. Even acherim might agree with that. Rashbam points out now there are other places in Shas, and actually further in our sugya we're going to bring that Rabbi Yehuda holds when you're making temed, Rabbi Yehuda still says it's chayev in truma and meiser. He would say because of the chumra of meiser, he would say that it's considered wine to that extent. But he would agree that it's not really considered wine to the extent that you would make hagafen on it. And after all, the fact is, b'dieved you make shakol on any food you yotze. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda would say, in effect, basically, it's a matter of suffix whether such a thing is considered wine or not. So, as far as the dinim of maisa, we have to be machmir with suffix because you can't eat tevel daraisa, and therefore you would have to take truma and maisa from it. But as far as brachas, Rabbi Yehuda would still agree, says Rashbam, that you would say shakol on it. Again, where you put in three and got back three. So now the machlokas would be ki pligi the roma tlos of asa tlos o palga. The machlokas says he put in three measures of water. And altogether now he comes out after he strains out the dregs, he's got 3.5. So he got a half a measure of water extra. So the Chachamim hold, listen, you put in three, you got out three, so that three is obviously wine. Poshle palga, all you have left is an extra half measure of wine. So therefore they're saying it's a ratio of one part of wine to six parts of water. And therefore they say that's not good enough for it to be considered wine, therefore it would be shakol. The Acherim Savri, whereas Acherim take the view, Tlosa'ul, they say like this: when you put in three cups of wine, Treinu Pauga Nafik, what you really have is only 2.5 came out, because you think about it, the dregs that you're soaking in water over here, they had some moisture in them to begin with. So the Acherim hold, now what you have is you have an exchange over there. Some wine comes out of the dregs, obviously, because that flavored the water, but in return, other molecules of water got in there instead. So of the original three measures of water that you put in, say the Acherim, 2.5 of them came out. The other half got reabsorbed into the dregs. But now you have 3.5. Therefore, poshle kuza. So therefore, you have a full cup, a full measure of wine that came out. The kuza, but shreya palga. So now you have one to 2.5 as a ratio of. So now you have 1 to 2.5 as a ratio of exactly that, 1 to 2.5. Chamamal yahu. So therefore, it's perfectly good wine. And therefore, it would be hagafen. Now, it's one thing that Ashbam points out: if you put in three and got back exactly three, then there's not really raglayim ladover. There's no reason to think that you got out any significant amount of water got into the dregs, replacing the wine that was there. Because after all, then you would have gotten something extra. But here, when you did, in fact, besides which, anyway, even if you did, it would only be 1 in 5, which is not really good. But here, where you put in three measures of water, three cups of water, and you come out with 3.5 cups of temed, then the acherim are going to hold that out of that 3.5 cups, one full cup of it was what was in the dregs, and therefore that's enough to be considered wine. Which, by the way, this is what the Gemara is mentioning over here, that 1 in 6 is not considered wine, implying that if it's any more than that, it would be fine. That comes up in halacha. In, for example, all wines nowadays, we generally don't need to dilute in the first place. They're not as strong as the wines in the time of the Gemara. But suppose you do want to dilute them with water or something. Up to what point can you dilute them and they're still considered wine? So then you have, based on the Gemara over here, it comes out that it comes out 1 in 6. They also talk about, the Poskim also talk about, for example, if you're making raisin wine, where again you're using a lot of water and you're getting out juice from the raisins. We're not talking about, by the way, the Poskim Post can also talk about, it has to be that the raisins to begin with are moist enough that you would get something out of them if you squeeze them. So not necessarily you go, for example, let's say, and buy a box of raisins in the store now and make raisin wine of it. It wouldn't necessarily be hagafen. You couldn't necessarily use it for kiddush, but we're talking about where you still have the raisins are still plump enough to get something out. But again, you have this 1 in 6 consideration that comes into the picture. And with wines nowadays, it's very common also that the wineries mix in a certain amount of water to begin with. By law, they're allowed to mix in up to a certain percentage of water into the wine. And so you have to factor that in as well. If you're going to be diluting them with water, how much you can dilute them, and it's still considered wine. Okay. So the Gemara continues. So far, what are we saying? We're saying that if you didn't get out anything extra, even the Acherim would agree that even though it has the taste of wine, nevertheless, it's just, well, the Gemara calls it Kiwa Ba'alma. The Gemara further on calls it Kiwa Ba'alma. It's just like it's an aroma, kind of. It's not real wine, and therefore you can't say Hagafen on it, and you wouldn't be able to make Kiddush on it, etc. And vice versa, if you got so much more out, if you put in 3 and got 4, then definitely it's considered good wine. The Machlokas is if it's in between that. So the Gemara asks of Yosef the Kedemi Dosimi Plagi. So you're telling me that anytime you got more out than you put in, then the Chachamim are still arguing and saying that's not considered wine unless the percentage is 1 to 3. V'hotnan, we learn in the Mishnah. Hamatamid, where exactly that, when a person makes tamid, the nosan mayim bamida, he puts in a certain amount of water, or motza kademi dasa, and he finds exactly as much as he put in, potter, then he's potter from giving truma and mice on it, because it's considered water, Rabbi Yehuda mechayev, and Rabbi Yehuda says he's chayev, because it has the flavor of wine. Now, ad kan le pligi al b'kedemi dosei. Now, the whole argument is only where he got back exactly as much as he put in. Avam yosim b'kedemi dosei le pligi. It seems they're not arguing where he got back more. So you're telling me that the Chachamim are considering it wine only when he got back 33% more than he put in. He put in 3 measures and got back 4. Now, though, based on this Mishnah that we're quoting, it seems that as long as he got anything more than he put in, Here the Chachamim had said that we said over here in the Gemara that when he got back 3.5, then the Chachamim are going to say that that's when the argument is. But if he got back exactly as much as he put in, even the Chachamim would agree that that's not considered wine. So the implication of that Mishnah, though, is that no, only if he got back exactly enough, even then, it's exactly the same amount as he put in, and Rabbi Yehuda is machayev him because it tastes of wine, and the Chachamim say that not, implying if he got back any more than that, then even the Chachamim would agree that it's wine. We just said here, Rava had explained that if he gets back 3.5 from the 3 he put in, then that's when the Chachamim would still say he's potter, and only Acherim would say he's chayev. So the Rashbam explains, when he puts in 3 and gets back exactly 3, fine. The Gemara doesn't have a problem with that. Because then we would say, because of the Chumrah of Maiser, Rabbi Yehuda would be Machmir and require him to take Maiser from it as long as it has a taste of wine. But Rabbi Yehuda would agree, you say Shakol on it. But here we're saying when the Chachamim are saying Motza Kedemi Dosa, he's Potter, implying, but if he finds more than Kedemi Dosa, he's Chayev, that would be as far as Maiser and as far as the Bracha. Because after all, we see that they only require him, the implication of the Mishnah is they only require him to take Maiser if he got back more than he put in. Well, at that point, then, in other words, they're not saying it's a matter of a Chumrah, it's a matter of Me'ikr Adin, they would be saying that it's considered wine. The Tosfos gives a different explanation of it. Tosfos brings from Yesh Meforshim that if we wanted to say that the Rabbanan, the Tanakama, and the Acherim of the previous Braisa follow the opinion of the Chachamim who argue against Rabbi Yehuda, then that would be fine. The Gemara didn't have a problem with that. But anyway. So the question is, again, that here Rava was saying, if you get back more than you put in, but not 33% more, the Chachamim are not considering it wine, but the implication of that Mishnah in Masechta Maestris is that they do. Because they're saying only if you got back exactly as much as you put in, is it butter? And the answer is who are dinafil biyosim akademi dosi pligi. You could say that no, the Mishnah means they are arguing even if you put in more, even if you got out more than you put in, but not 33% more. Not we put in three and you got out four. Bahaydu komifligi akademi dosi. The reason they're arguing specifically, the reason the Mishnah presents their argument specifically on where he got back more than what he put in, but not necessarily that much more, is Lo'idiach HaKolchid Rabbi Yehuda, to tell you how far Rabbi Yehuda goes in being mechayev it in Meiser because of the Chumrah of Meiser. Whereas the Chachamim don't need to say that. Obviously, you would say that a little bit of wine mixed into a lot of water is going to be bottled. So there's no real chiddush, even though usually the Gemara meant, even though elsewhere the Gemara has the expression that we would rather koicha de hetera odif, we'd rather highlight how far the one who's mekel goes to be mekel. But here, there's no reason to do that. It's pretty obvious that the Chachamim are going to say that under such circumstances, it's not considered wine. The chiddush is that Rabbi Yehuda would hold that it's not, that it still is considered wine, and therefore that you would require meiser taken from it. And so the Gemara finishes off in that connection. So what happens if you have dregs that have a taste of wine? So again, you poured water on them. They absorbed some of the taste, and now but you don't have a whole nother measure of water. Mahu? What would be the din? Omale. So Rabchia Ba'ovan answers him. Misavret chamrahu. You're thinking that it's considered wine, and therefore there's a possibility of saying hagafen on it. No, kiuha ba'almahu. It's really just like an aroma, kind of. It's really just like kiuha literally means a sharpness. In other words, there's a little flavor of wine in it, but not enough for it to be considered wine. And therefore, yes, it would be shakol. One explanation now. Why does he even need to ask if we just establish that? So the Rashbam explains that he didn't know of the braisa of the Chachamim and Achirim. Obviously, he would know if he knew of that braisa, he would know the halacha is not like the Achirim. Then there's different other explanations. What about if it really tastes exactly like wine mixed with water? And nevertheless, he tells him that the fact is that it's the fact that you didn't get out that extra measure of water still doesn't allow us to consider it like wine. And then there's various other explanations among Rishonim what exactly the point of the question was. So we're going to continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and talk more about these dinim of wine, of what's considered wine and what's not. And we're going to talk about, in particular, about how it relates to the dinim of Kiddush.